for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on relationships.
Father, we thank you for all the word that we've heard. Boy, and have we heard some word. And now, Lord, it's like another meal. So we start with a clean plate. And, Lord, we are ready to receive from you. And we thank you for what we will receive. I pray, Lord, that each person hears it and receives it, myself included. It always hits me first. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord just actually dropped this on me day before yesterday, before I got here. What's that? What is today? Today is Saturday. I got here Thursday. I guess it was on the way up here. And it's on relationship. And I thought at first, and it is, it's going to all work together. But I thought at first it was relationship. But it's actually relationship. But then this goes in here.
That's right.
See, so it always...
This is going good.
That's
this
right.
Out here is going to be better.
That's right. So I looked up the word relationship, and the definition is the state or character of being related or interrelated, which means to bring into or have a mutual relationship. Mutual means given and received in equal amounts. That's important. Given and received in equal amounts. The same feelings one for the other. That's relationship. We have a lot of one-sided relationships. I know in my life there's a lot of one-sided relationships. But that's okay. I'm a relationship person. So it doesn't matter whether I get equal. I still love them and am so excited every time I see them. You know, and it used to bother me a little bit. I used to think, why is it that when I become friends with somebody and then there's a span of time, they forget all about me and I never forget them? I mean, it's love. It's a love thing. But God is a God of relationship. That's why He created us. So I want to start in Genesis 3. We're just going to read some scripture. Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9. I'm just going to read a portion of verse 8, because this is not about the fact that they hid themselves. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? See? And I believe that God is saying that, calling that out to many of us. All of us, really. But relationship being equal in giving and receiving, there are some in relationship with God who He is saying, where are you? Where are you? I'm looking for you. And I think sometimes we get so caught up with the mechanics of our spiritual lives that we neglect the relationship. We're into meetings and we're into books and we're into church even. You know, we're so busy and God is saying, where are you? In Revelation 3:20, again, this is how He is with relationship. Okay, new pages separate. 3:20, This is Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. See, supping is an intimate thing. When you sit down and eat with someone, it's usually someone that you're intimate with. And I don't mean sexually. I just mean relationship. You have an intimacy with that person. It's beyond the, hello, how are you? You know, it's relationship. And that's how Jesus is. He's standing at our door. Where are you? I want to spend some time with you. Where are you? Relationship. Let's look at Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Starting at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was of little stature. He was short. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know what I love about this story? That Zacchaeus, you know, short men are very sensitive. They've been picked on all their lives, and many of them carry a real chip on their shoulder, and they are ready to show you how big they are. I've noticed in Jasper, the smallest, shortest men drive the biggest pickups on the road. And likewise, the biggest men drive these little bitty pickup trucks. I'm thinking, Lord, what is this? But because he was short, you know that he was sensitive about his size. But that day, he did not care. He didn't care if he got laughed by everybody. He wanted to see Jesus. So he climbs up in this tree. And Jesus, I mean, can you imagine Jesus is walking and he sees the crowd and he sees this one man up in the tree? And he's thinking, that fella must have really wanted to see me. And so he stops and speaks to him, calls him by name, which is interesting. He knew who he was. But I loved that. He was willing to lay down his pride and his ego in order to see Jesus. And who would have ever thought that he would end up going to his house? Have you ever had an experience like that? I was in Houston at this church service, and there was this dynamic little man called Pastor Olu Lawrence from Nigeria, Africa. There was just something about him. And I was visiting this church and for a little conference, and it ended on Saturday, and I had spent the night, so I went to their church on Sunday morning. And there he was. He wasn't there for the conference. He was just there that Sunday morning. And the pastor asked me, being nice to a visitor, I guess, said, would you like to get up? And why don't you just get up and come and tell us what God is talking to you about right now in this season? And so I did. And so he was sitting on the front row, you know, right there. And I was just talking to him about, not to him, but just sharing these things. And before we left the meeting, he said, go get that lady. And so they came and got me, and I went into the office. And he just talked a little bit, where are you from, you know, this kind of thing. Well, the next time he came to the United States, he got my name and number. He called me. and was telling me where he was and everything. Well, I wasn't going to Houston that particular weekend. But I said, well, what other meetings do you have? Maybe you could come to Jasper. If you have some spare time, I could, you know, set some things up for you. And he said, well, I would really love that. So, it of course, I had to talk to Mike first. Well, let me talk to Mike. And Mike didn't want strangers in his house. And I said, even if it's a man of God, honey, I mean, but I said, you think about it and let me know, and then I'll call him. He decided it would be okay if he came, and he and Pastor Olu are big buddies now. But he ended up at my house. So, you know, I've had a similar experience. It's just awesome the way God will connect. He makes connections. And here was Zacchaeus up in that tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And then Jesus went to his house. That must have been a memorable day for Zacchaeus. But he laid down his pride. That's what got to me. Because of his stature. So he runs up the road and climbs up in a tree to get over the crowd. And Jesus noticed that. So they had a relationship after that. He said, abide. I looked up the word, and it just, you know, it can mean for a short time. It can mean for a long time. It doesn't tell us how long he was with Zacchaeus. But it was the desire to have relationship. Not really. He never even dreamed relationship. He just wanted to see Jesus. Probably had heard of him and just was really curious and wanted to know more about him, as we all are. We want to know more. We want to know him better. We want to see him. We want to see his face. We want him to know us. Relationship. Okay, the next story is in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she will help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So you see, Mary just wanted to sit at his feet. Now, there were things to be done. We all have things that need to be done. But Jesus is saying, where are you? Where are you? So, and I was thinking one day about another part of the kingdom teaching that hasn't been given yet, but I thought this would be a good place to have almost, he could almost do a whole sermon on embarrassing moments in the Bible. Because I'm sure that she thought, Martha thought, that Jesus was going to say, Mary, what do you mean letting Martha do all this work by herself? Oops. You know, Jesus didn't say what she wanted to hear. I'm sure that was very embarrassing for Martha. But Mary wanted relationship. And it didn't matter to her that she was not doing the same thing Martha was doing. But when I thought about that, you know, like Zacchaeus let go of his pride and his ego to climb that tree, here was Martha, and this is are things that affect all of our relationships with other people. In all of these stories, we see these characteristics. Martha was being a little bit self-righteous. You know, because she was doing the more noble thing she thought by being working. I don't know what that word is that I needed to say. Not like studious, but
a little religious.
No, industrious. You know, she was working very hard to see that everything was like it needed to be. And those things need to be done. But sometimes we want to put our responsibility, if we feel a responsibility, on somebody else. And that can cause problems in relationships. And it did even with Martha and Mary. But Jesus came to her rescue and said, no one's going to take that away from her. So there was Martha just kind of, she'll get back to, you know, whatever she was doing. She resented Mary. She resented Mary. That's why she went to Jesus. She was complaining. And this gets in the way of our relationships. She judged Mary that she was not taking care of her job, the job that Martha thought she should be doing. And she took it upon herself, a false responsibility. She took it upon herself to go to Jesus, thinking Jesus was going to make Mary do it. So there was self-righteousness there. There was resentment. There was complaining. There was judgment. And taking a false responsibility. It wasn't her responsibility to do that, but she thought it was. And a lot of times we step out and do things thinking that it's our responsibility to do it, and we're really crossing the line in a relationship with other people. And so we don't want to do that. Let's see. Oops. Oh, dear, I tore. Okay, the other story is with David and Saul. Remember, they summoned David to come and play music when Saul was feeling depressed or low, or maybe just when he was bored. But David came, and as he grew in popularity and then became a soldier and killed the 10,000s, and people began to like David, Saul felt threatened and jealous and envious and then murderous toward David. And sometimes in our relationships with people, even maybe people that we don't even know, that come into our lives, and we, for whatever reason, there comes a wall up that will get in the way of relationship with that other person. And so Jesus and God, because God is a man of relationship, Jesus and God had a wonderful relationship. And then Jesus wants relationship with us, and then he desires us to have relationship with others. Over the Christmas holidays, we had an incident in our family, which is, they're getting further and further apart, praise the Lord. But my grandmother had 5 children. And as is in all families, there are personalities that just don't like to chum up together. But my grandmother always wanted all of her kids, you know, 3 of them and their families would go off to a football game or to the amusement park. And my grandmother just couldn't stand it that the other 2 weren't included. They may have been invited, but they didn't want to go. But that didn't matter. She wanted all her chicks together and to love each other. I said so, you know. And we, as a mother, I understand that. We have a desire. We want our children to get together, and that because we have God's heart when it comes to family. We want our families to love each other. Well, just the craziest thing, I just had to laugh at this, because what happened was my son is getting a divorce. The day he went to divorce court, I probably shouldn't be telling that story. But anyway, the day he went to divorce court, he was arrested for not showing up for a ticket that he had gotten. You know, if you don't show up the day of the court, they put out a warrant. Well, he went, but he was 10 minutes late. Oh, Mama didn't think to. I said, well, you learned. You don't be late to court. But anyway, he was arrested. Well, I told my mother about it, but I didn't tell anybody. It just wasn't anything that needed to be. It wasn't that I was hiding it. I just didn't tell anybody else but my mother. Well, in this family, they all think they've got to know everybody's business. And so another aunt or an aunt called me and said, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. Was Kyle arrested recently? And I said, yes, he was arrested for, she said, well, what was he arrested? No, was it for child support? And I said, no, where did you get that? And she said, why? Is that important? And I thought, okay, I'm not playing this game. I just said, well, whoever told you that maybe knows more than I do. But anyway, I was told. And then I said, well, Mike is sitting right here. He was right there. Honey, what did Kyle get arrested for? So okay, Mike said he for the ticket. And I said it was for the ticket. So anyway, she wouldn't tell me who told her that. So I thought, you know, if this aunt knows this, then my mother is going to hear about it. I had even forgotten whether I had told mother or not. So I called my mother because I don't want her to hear something about her own family from somebody else. And I said, Mom, did I happen to mention to you the day that Kyle went to divorce court that he was arrested? Yeah, but can you tell me? And I said, okay, I just want to make sure. Why? I said, well, Auntie asked me about it, and then I thought if she knows it, it's being talked about, oh my gosh, it just gets in the biggest tangly knot. And so I said, but I know, you know, while I was talking to this aunt, it just dropped on me. I don't know if it was a word of knowledge or if I figured it out. I really don't know. But all of a sudden, I knew where she got the information. Another aunt goes to church with Brittany's people, you know, so they are all talking about it. And so I knew that it was that aunt who goes to church with that. So I told Mom, I said, well, you know, this aunt asked me about it, and I know that it was this aunt that told her because while I was talking to her, it just dropped on me that she's friends with Brittany's grandmother, and there you have it. So, but I said, but now aunt didn't tell me that. So after a while, my mother calls me. Well, I talked to other aunt, and I asked her where she got her information. I went, oh, Mother, you didn't. Oh, no. I said, now that aunt's going to think that that aunt told me that she told her, and oh, my gosh, it was just the biggest mess, and she wouldn't tell me, so I know she said, please don't tell her, and oh, my gosh, it's just the biggest mess. I said, you know.
Miss
Brittany,
I'm really
interested. I'm sorry. That's, it's as the world turns. My son and his wife are getting a divorce.
Brittany's
the little wife. Brittany is divorcing my son. It hasn't happened yet. She's divorcing him. But it was just it's just the way the devil loves to stir up strife, offense, anger, relationship problems. He is all in the middle of it. So it's nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But for the kingdom, we must stop it. We must stop with jealousy, with competition, with accusations. You know, David himself prayed. Let me find where it was. Psalm 19:13, David himself said, keep back thy servant. He's talking about himself. In other words, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. And that word presumptuous means to take in advance. You presume something. There's a lot. Well, and this is exactly what happened. Well, I presumed that she told, you know, because the original aunt that told my aunt that asked me had told her not to tell. But when it got, well, this was the hilarious thing. This is what I had to laugh at. I said, oh, Mother, you didn't. Oh, well, it's done. I said, she said, well, I didn't tell her who told me. She said, this is what I said. I said, aunt, other aunt, sister, who told you? And the aunt said back to my mother, well, who told you? And my mother said, well, who did you tell?
Oh,
which pointed right back. You know, it was just insane. And I thought, this is so typical. So now, Aunt is upset with me that I felt that I needed to tell it to my mother. I said, the only reason I said anything to Mama was because I did not want her hearing information about her family from someone else. But I had already told her. I just didn't remember. It's just, you know, I tell people now, I have something I want to tell you, but you can't tell anybody. I don't want to hear it. Keep it to yourself. Because guess what, ladies? I am an open book. I have no secrets. And it's going to come out somewhere. Because I don't live like that. And the weirdest thing to me is, what's the big secret? What is the big secret? Why all of this hush-hush? I mean, it's from the world of darkness. All of that stuff is from the world of darkness. Okay. So, the other one, what I want to read now, is 1 John 4. We're talking about relationship. This is kind of a long passage. Beloved, verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I got a little tiny revelation a while ago reading that. Because we have used this scripture, and it is true, that because as he is, so are we in this world. But the first part of that is, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. If we, you know, live in this love and operate in this love, as he is, so are we in this world. But it's the love issue that makes the difference in that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat him, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see that connection? By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, it can seem to be grievous. The commandment that we must love one another can be grievous to us. Because when we are wounded, it's not what we want to do. We want to withdraw. We want to hide. We want not to have anything to do with them anymore. I mean, some of the stories I have heard in relationships where brothers and sisters have not spoken with each other for years over some offense. And I know that grieves God's heart. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father. And it says that he gave us also the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be peacemakers. And so, as children of God, we should reconcile when we have a break in our relationship with anybody. Whether it's somebody in the church or whether it's somebody not in the church. And the sad thing is that so many of these things are in the church among God's people. And if we're going to reach that kingdom place, we're going to have to stop it. Stop the madness. Stop serving Satan in the church with relationship problems. I want to read Psalm 133. It's only three verses. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's just three verses. I need a drink of water. I got so tickled. He made that water sound so good. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Man, when they anointed, didn't they? As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's pretty valuable. For brethren to dwell together in unity. And if we're going to reach the kingdom, we're going to have to get there. What was that little, it was a song, not how good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together, not that one. But there's another one that I thought about. Well, I lost it. But because I didn't know if it was a scripture. But it's about loving each other. Now, so what do we do? What do we have to do whenever we are so wounded that we really want to just scratch that person out of our life forever? In the Beatitudes, he says, let me find it. Pray for your enemies. Well, I can find it better in Luke. Luke chapter 6. I quoted that yesterday. Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, it's not really, you know, when someone offends you, it's not an act of hate. But there's disloyalty, and when you're wounded by somebody, you feel betrayed. And so, in relationship to unity, there's disunity, and they become spiritually an enemy because they've hurt you, they've wounded you. And that you expect that from your enemies, right? But you don't expect that from people that you love. So he says, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's hard to do when somebody has really wounded you. And it's all wrapped up in forgiveness. But the reason Jesus says to love your enemies and bless them that curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you is because you cannot do that in the flesh. You've got to cross over into that spirit man and draw on a supernatural power in order to do that. And like I said yesterday, when you obey the word of God, it is the word of his power. So that when you do these things, when you obey it, when you begin to pray for that person, and by praying for them, I don't mean, Lord, let them step in front of a truck and be hit. I actually heard somebody pray that one time. I said, whoa. I'm not praying in agreement with that. I mean, you know, back up. But, you know, it's really amazing to me. This person had been in church all of her life, and they thought it was okay to pray that way. There's a lot of things that people get in church that are not godly. But he means you begin to lift that person up and pray for them in a good way, for the Lord to bless them. And then that supernatural thing, that power from God, just by obeying his word, comes and assists you. And then the weirdest thing happens. You develop an actual love concern for that person. That's supernatural. That's kingdom. That's what will bring us back into unity. And I'll tell you the hardest thing that I ever had to do. This same aunt, she and I are very close. She's like my spiritual mom. And I love her. Another aunt, I've got four aunts. Another aunt said to me, you know, I just think we need to confront her with the way she does that. She's always doing that. She's always, you know, stirring up this stuff. And I think we just need to confront. Don't you think we should confront her? And I said, she's 85 years old. Yes, I think probably somewhere along the line y'all should have confronted that 20 years ago or 40 years ago. But not at this stage in her life. She's not here much longer. And I don't know if she could forgive the offense before she died, you know. I said, and let me say this to you. If you decide to confront her, you leave my name out of it. Because I love her anyway. Even with it, I love her anyway. So, but this same aunt, years ago, probably 20 years ago, I was in church with her, and the Lord had shown me something that was fixing to happen in that church. Now, I didn't know that that's what he was showing me, but after it happened, I thought, wow, Lord, because I was grieved. I would sit in that church and just cry. I had no idea why I was crying. I said, Lord, why am I crying? Then a little later, some news comes out, and I'm thinking, wow, this is bad. I ended up leaving the church, and I was also in a Bible study with her and some other people. Loved them all, still love them all. But she had taught me how, she had taught me how to enter the throne room of God in prayer, which, you know, I love. She's very special and dear to me. And she helped me along the road of spiritual maturity. And so, but, you know, they never got to deliverance. They didn't know anything about it. This is, I mean, and deliverance is fixing to be widespread. It's got to be. It's got to be for us to get to the kingdom. And I've talked to her a little bit about it, and, you know, she's asked me to pray for her. But there are still some things that have been untouched, flesh things that rise up and cause a lot of problems. But anyway, so I knew that I was going to have to leave that church because my loyalty is not to a pastor and it's not to a church. It is to God. And I didn't say anything to her about it. I just told her one day that I will not be coming back to the church. And she was most upset with me. And I had told her this over the phone, that I wouldn't be in church Sunday. And so she just said, well, our relationship can't be like it has been anymore. I was like, what? I was totally shocked. But what happened was she was hurt that I had made this decision separate from her. And it wounded her. Now, if she would have just told me that, then we could have taken care of it right then. But no, it was just, that's that. And I got off the phone, and I was just in tears. I was bringing a load of laundry out to the dryer and crying, you know. What did I do, Lord? I couldn't imagine living life without her. I loved her. And she made no beans about it. It was finished, cut and dried, over. I mean, just like it was cold. And Jesus said, they did it to me, and they'll do it to you. So I was okay with that. Okay, Lord. I mean, I understand that. This is like suffering the persecutions. Or what is that scripture? Where we partake of his sufferings. Yeah, we're going to suffer the same things that Jesus did. And so one day I'm in the morning with the Lord and just studying and praying, and all of a sudden he said, go to her. I was like, don't ask me to go to her. She is scary, Lord. She has a very strong Jezebel spirit. But she's scary. She can be. You know, and no. I mean, it took me about 2 weeks to pray up enough nerve to call her. But I did. And it's not a good day. My cleaning lady's here. So, well, what time does she finish? Well, she could see I was going to persist. And so she said, well, I guess we could sit outside. I said, okay, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And I said, Lord, I send the mighty angels. Stand around that glider out there. I just need all the help I can get. You know, Lord, I send the angels. Well, when I got there, the cleaning lady had left, and she summons me in the house. And I was like, we're going in. And they didn't come in. I mean, I didn't do this because I didn't want her to ask me what I was doing. But I want to send this way. But no, we went in the house. And I'm telling you, it was just like looking at a shark. I can't even describe it to you. And what I said to her was, I don't understand this kind of love. You are the one who taught me about love. This I don't understand. This feels like conditional love. I mean, I was just very honest with her. I told her exactly how it made me feel, how confused I was, and everything. And it was like looking at a doll, you know. It was like black marbles. But she has beautiful blue eyes. It was cold. And when I got done and I was sobbing, and she just got up and led me to the door and opened the door, and I stepped out and I turned around and I just broke down sobbing. I miss you. You know, I miss you. And when I really broke down and said, I miss you, she stepped out and embraced me. Then we went to sit in the swing. And there was a breakthrough in the swing. There was a breakthrough right there. Because she is the most compassionate, loving, generous, kind woman in the spirit. And so she explained to me that she was wounded, that I had made this huge decision. You know, in the past, I had come, she said, you had come to me, and we always, George and I would pray about it, and we would pray and to counsel you. And I said, but Aunt Frank, you have taught me how to find God by myself. I hear from God. I did used to do that. I needed you to hear from God and tell me what he said. But you've taught me how to hear from God for myself. That should make you so proud. But I didn't understand. So can you forgive me for wounding you? And then we were fine. See? Reconciliation. Of course, all the other aunts, that's the way she'd been all her life. You have to apologize. No, but I said, I don't even care. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is relationship. Right, wrong, all that mess. I'll be wrong forever to maintain unity in relationship. And God is saying, where are you? Where are you? I want to have relationship with you. So what this really is all about is first, your relationship with God is the most important thing, because without this, you're not going to have this. It won't be real. It'll be counterfeit. It'll be fake. It'll be empty. And so I encourage you to get with God. Open the door. Let it sup with him. Sit down. Be quiet. Be still with him. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. You know, I think sometimes we want so bad to have that we're looking for how to do it, and he's right there. He's like the man at the pool of Bethesda that laid there forever, crippled, waiting for someone to put him in the pool. And the healer stood right beside him. So what are our excuses for not nurturing the most important relationship? God showed me a wheel one time, the hub of the wheel. And the wheel is our life. It's just the kind that's on a wagon wheel, on an old wagon that you see in the Western movies, that with the wooden spokes that go out like this and then the rim around it, and that's what the wagon rolls on. And the spokes are connected to a hub, and that hub is our relationship with God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But even it's the relationship that will bring you into the kingdom. And then all these spokes are our husband and children and homes and cars and jobs and school and all these other things. Those are the spokes. But without the hub, you can have every bit of that and your wagon's going nowhere. If you will take take care of that most important thing, then what does he say? I'm going to add all of those things to you, and then you're gonna roll right on through life, and it'll be the good life. But it's the hub, and it's relationship. So if I can encourage you to seek anything, it is that one-on-one relationship with God first, above everything. Because so many heart cries that I hear from people would be gone, really, if that relationship was whole and healthy and sound, then all the rest of it it doesn't shipwreck you anymore. So about the relationship, your relationship with God has to be above everything else. Now, I want to make a list, and because we're going to do some deliverance. Some of the things I listed in the story with Martha, with Zacchaeus, and David and Saul. And what do y'all... I thought about Gail Patton. I sure have been missing them. Where are they? Have you been hearing from them? Okay. I miss them, but I thought about Gail today. I'm learning from Gail's technique. It's a good one. Because, see, I can see these things. Zacchaeus had to lay down his pride, and that's a big problem. See, in this relationship web that I grew up in, I have seen all of these things for so long, and they're so unnecessary. And one of my prayers is, Lord, let them deal with the baggage that they've carried all these years so that they can just love each other. And they're all now in their, my mother's going to be 81 next month. You know, they're all in their 80s. There's wounds. I mean, if we could see them in the spirit, there are deep scars and missing limbs and holes in their heart and all manner of things from their childhood. And it's just really sad. Because family is, God intended it to be so unified and strong and loving and supportive and all those things. And so I wanted to hear from some of y'all some of the things that get in the way of your relationships with family or friends or church members, or can y'all think of any? I've got self-righteousness, resentment, complaining, judgment, false responsibility, presuming. And see, that's a lot of relationships are in trouble because we just presume things. You know, somebody, I may walk into the room and I'm thinking about something I need to go pick up at the store, and so I could look you straight in the face and see a list of my grocery list, and you know, she looked right through me. She looked right at me and didn't even speak to me. You know, we presume things that cause us to react, and then there's a breach, and there you have it. See, so we have lots of things in relationships. So does anybody else have any that you want to put on the list?
Competition.
What is it?
Fear of rejection.
Fear of man. Now see, I had that one down by Zacchaeus because he had to let go of his fear of man to get in that tree. Fear of rejection. Hang on. What was it?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
About retaliation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
big expectations.
Mm-hmm. When they don't live up to your expectations, or?
Well, it's just you expect things out of a relationship.
Yeah, presumption. That's what presumption is.
You just expect things from a relationship.
Expectations.
I think one of the biggest is the difference of the personalities in people.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard time with other people's personalities.
That's true. You know, whenever years ago I was suffering from depression, and I thought the psychiatrist would heal me. I thought I would get well. God sovereignly healed me of depression, but went to the psychiatrist, and that was one of the things that he helped me with, because personalities are different, and I thought everybody was like me. I did. I just thought everybody thought like I did, and all of that was very naive. And he helped me with that. He said, everybody is not going to like you. That was, why? It was. How dare he? No.
Introverted women have a hard time with extroverted women. Women who are drivers and colder, they sometimes have a hard time with different styles.
That's true.
This personality thing where we're different.
I think that's good, personality differences. Well, which would call for understanding,
temperance,
and compassion,
fruit of the spirit,
and mercy,
self-control,
personality, and the Jezebel spirit, control. Well, that's all in Jezebel, but maybe we should just call them out singly. Misunderstandings. How about betrayal of confidences? What about just like shyness? You know, sometimes people are just shy, and that can keep you from being able to reach out and have relationships. Okay.
Trust.
Yes, lack of trust.
A rejected person is going to have a tough time no matter how you cut it.
That's true.
An alcoholic father and mother, you can just add a whole bunch to that. Yeah.
A lot of times I'll try to have another family member and talk and try to be building a relationship, and they like to bring up the past.
Right.
Even though they may not be living right either.
Right.
Like bringing up all the things you ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially family.
Okay.
They like to do that to you.
Well, it's forgiveness and judgment. It's all, you know what, I like to find, because there's so much that I need to pray about in my family and in business and ministry and everything. So I try to find a funnel thing that I can, like, I pray this all the time, Lord, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, their lives from the power of Satan unto you, that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and sharing the inheritance of the saints. That takes care of my list of people that need to be saved. You know, and I may go to, sometimes I name them by name and sometimes I don't. But instead of pulling out this one and praying over this one and pulling out this one and praying over that, you know, and then you have distractions. And so I really try to be focused in my prayer, and it's the love issue. You know, they'll say, and she just never, you know, calls me. Well, she has a love issue. It's a love issue. It all really boils down, which is why I read the scriptures about love. It all boils down to love. Love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sins.
It thinketh no evil.
Love thinketh no evil. It doesn't persist on its own way. It doesn't rejoice over evil. You know, all of 1 Corinthians 13, we could have just done that. But it is the relationship. And it is all about love.
Generational thing used to go in there too.
Yeah.
Yes. Generational, just what would you call that? Because there are, like, you take on your family's feuds. It's like the family, you know, the family feud thing. Yeah, I think that's good.
One's likely to have a lot of broken relationships. It's like a curse that continues on.
Mm-hmm. Relationship curses, broken relationships.
It's hard to love when you're a disaster yourself. You want to love, you're trying to love, but you're so wounded, your spirit's been devoured.
But see, when you work on, when you take that, all of your stuff with that relationship with God, then you are made whole. And out of that wholeness, you can have whole relationships. Even if they can't, you can maintain the relationship. Sometimes you have to carry the whole relationship, but that's okay, you know. God loved us even in that Luke chapter 6, it says that he was kind even to the unthankful and the evil. He was kind. So he says, so that we can be known as the children of God, we have to do the same thing. But we don't want it to be fake. We don't want to take this cesspool and put chocolate icing over it and look sweet. No, we want it to be real. When we cut into that chocolate cake, we want cake. We want it to be real. And that's why this relationship is the most important thing to nurture, so that we can do it this way. And then that's going to help the kingdom thing.
It's his love anyway.
It is.
It says that his love's been shed abroad in our hearts.
That's right.
We don't just keep it.
That's right.
That's where we get the love from.
That's it. It's not our love. Nope. But there is a love before you have God, that kind of love. You know, you love your kids if they behave, and you love people if they're nice to you, and if they don't, you know, that kind of love. But like you said, it's God's love that, and it's the real. That's exactly right. Now, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I want to do a little exercise after we do this. Okay, so right now, let's just close our eyes, and I want you to ask the Lord to bring to your memory broken relationships, or even if you have relationships, but they're strained, they're not broken, but you maintain them all the time, but there's just constant strife and junk in it. Ask God to bring to your memory anybody in the past, even if they're dead, that has wounded you, betrayed you, and set you at that place where you really didn't want to see them. Lord, just bring them to our memories right now. Every person that we need to forgive, every person that's hurt us, that's wounded us, that's broken our hearts, that's betrayed us, might be a friend, might be a parent, could have been a teacher, a coach, anybody, close friend, our mates. Lord, come right now. First of all, I want to speak to the broken heart and the wounded spirit, Lord. Anyone that's been brokenhearted or wounded over a relationship that was close to them and now is broken or estranged, Father, just come and touch the brokenness in their hearts. Lord, you said in your word, Luke 4:18, that you came to heal the brokenhearted. I call on that healing right now in the name of Jesus for every broken heart, every wounded spirit in the name of Jesus. Receive healing now. He's pouring it out constantly. Just receive it. Receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against pride. We come against pride and ego, those vile characteristics that cause us to be critical and self-righteous. In the name of Jesus, I come against all pride, and I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, all pride, ego, go in the name of Jesus. All self-righteousness, feelings of being justified, doing what you do, even if it was hurtful to somebody else, all that self-righteousness, go in Jesus' name. All resentment of things that have happened, resentment over something that was said to you, resentment even just by the way they looked at you or the tone of their voice, all spirits of resentment, anger, bitterness, root of bitterness, all unforgiveness, in the name of Jesus, I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to go right now. All bitterness, anger, resentment. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of complaining, constant complaining that will put people off. No one wants a relationship with someone who's constantly complaining. Lord, I just break that power of that spirit of complaining all the time in Jesus' name. Judgment, I come against the spirit of judgment, judging other people for what they said, what they wear, the way they look, what they do. Lord, we're not the judge. Let us judge ourselves, Lord, so that we don't have to be judged. I come against all spirits of false responsibility, taking it upon yourself to fix somebody else, which is really idolatry because you're making yourself God. Now, if the Lord lays it on your heart to speak to somebody about it, as the Word says, you do it in meekness. So the next time, if it's you needing correcting, you correct them the way you want to be corrected. All false responsibility, go in Jesus' name. Now come against all fear spirits. Fear of man, fear of rejection. All fear spirits, go in Jesus' name. Fear of doing it wrong, fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of how the other person's going to perceive what you say or what you do, all fear, go in the name of Jesus. All jealousy spirits, all spirits of jealousy and envy, go in the name of Jesus. All jealousy spirits, being jealous of someone for any reason, all jealousy spirits, go in Jesus' name. Covetousness, looking at somebody else and wanting what they have, you know, even wishing that your personality could be like their personality so that people would receive you the way they receive someone else. All covetousness spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I come against all trust issues in relationships, lack of trust, fear of not being trusted, all trust issues. I command all those spirits to be broken right now so that we can be released to have healthy, whole relationships in Jesus' name. Spirits of betrayal, either you being betrayed or if you've betrayed someone else. Lord, forgive us if we've betrayed someone else. And we forgive those who have betrayed us. All spirits of betrayal, I break your power right now in the name of Jesus. All misunderstanding, all spirits of being misunderstood or misunderstanding somebody else that caused a breach in your relationship with them, that caused you to be offended or your feelings hurt or just flat out made you mad, I come against all spirits of anger in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for letting the sun go down on our anger at things that have happened in relationships. I come against shyness, timidity that holds us back, that doesn't allow us to befriend people All shyness, spirits of shyness, go in the name of Jesus. Now I come against all familiar spirits that came down your family line that cause you to act like somebody else in your family. You know, sometimes there's a child that will behave in a certain way. Well, you're just like, well, in fact, I've been told that, that I was just like this aunt. And then one time they told me I was just like the other aunt. And I said, I consider that a compliment. Thank you. You know, sometimes we can diffuse something that's fixing to take place. This, on Christmas Day, my oldest son, my brother said something to him out of fun. He didn't mean anything harmful by it. I know that because I was raised with that brother. And he's just a stinker. But he said something to my oldest son, and my oldest son, I could tell, was searching for just that right thing to say back. And he was standing there, and I said, say, I love you, Uncle Jerry. I love you, Uncle Jerry. And Wade looked at me, and he said, I love you, Uncle Jerry, and walked out, you know. But it ended it. It could have turned into something nasty. It wouldn't have, because we're getting better in that area. We don't have nasty uproars anymore. But you know, there can be even in jest, just joking about something that has truth behind it, can really cause relationship problems, and we don't want any of that. So I come against all familiar spirits that come out. Especially, have you ever noticed that when you're with your family, how these things just manifest? It's amazing. So I come again, I break all familiar spirits off of every one of us, being like our mother, being like our daddy, being like a certain aunt or an uncle or some movie star or some comedian or, you know, whoever you would be compared to. I break all those familiar spirits, all word-spoken curses and self-inflicted word curses. I come against you and break you now in the name of Jesus and command you to go. Presumption. Lord, forgive us for the sin of presumption, for the many times that we have presumed something that wasn't true. Lord, forgive us for having expectations on people and then being upset with them when they didn't live up to those expectations. Forgive us, Lord, for retaliation. Or even the desire for retaliation. I come against all those spirits. And I break your power off of every one of us in the name of Jesus. Okay, Lord, right now, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit, Lord. And touch all those areas. Some of them we may not be completely done with yet. And I pray that in the days ahead, Lord, you will minister to us. Write this on our hearts. Let us remember it, Lord, as we enter into relationship. Let us take all this back and apply it in the relationships that we have. And Lord, let us be vessels of your love. Let us extend your love, even when hurtful things are said. It says a soft word turneth away wrath. Lord, let us be peacemakers. Lord, let that we can be recognized as your children. Your children. Lord, I just release upon the ladies now your love, the spirit of love, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. Peacemaker spirits, Lord. And the ministry of reconciliation in their own lives and being instrumental in bringing reconciliation to others that are not in unity. Lord, let this explode in your church especially so that we can enter into your kingdom. We want to be free, Lord, of all the weights that are holding us back. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for time to just examine our own relationships and, Lord, especially our relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that we would all find that precious place of your presence, Lord, and to spend time with you and to talk with you and to sup with you. Let us open the door. Lord, let us not make you knock. Let us meet with you so often that you don't have to knock, that you don't have to walk in the cool of the day and say, "Where are you? Sit down. I want to spend some time with you." And let it be personal, Lord. Let it be real. That's my prayer. That's my request, Lord. You say, "Let your request be made." No, that's my request. And I thank you that you've heard our prayers. You have received our confessions. And we are closer today than we were yesterday to being your children. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read some scripture as a blessing as you leave. Ephesians 3:17-19. Lord, I bless us, because I want it to, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, we will be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know your love, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. I bless us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.